This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This episode is sponsored by R.W. Knudsen Organic Just Tart Cherry Juice, a welcome addition to anyone's sleep routine. Pace Case, if you know me, and you do, you know that I'm working all hours of the day, all hours of the night. So the sleep that I do get has to be very good sleep. And I'm always looking for ways to up my sleep routine. Sometimes I'll read a book to go to sleep. Sometimes
The Bachelor?
That book keeps me very awake. It's very engaging. That never puts me to sleep. I will sometimes just put down my cell phone after a long day of looking at a screen. It's nice to get some time away from the screen. I also will incorporate some R.W. Knudsen Organic Just Tart Cherry Juice. It truly makes you go to sleep a little easier. It's the thing you need to help you drift off into the dreamland.
As more and more people are looking to prioritize sleep, Organic Just Tart Cherry is having a moment thanks to Tart Cherry's potential sleep-related benefits and potential to aid in muscle recovery when you get those gains like clues. We're seeing this in the viral Sleepy Girl Mocktail trend on social media. R.W. Knudsen has a whole lineup of natural juices with zero added sugar, so you can feel good about adding them to your wellness routine. It's all about celebrating those daily wins. Organic Just Tart Cherry Juice is made from tart cherries, which may help you get a better night's sleep because they have natural melatonin.
R.W. Knudsen crushes only 100% real ingredients, so you can crush everything you do. Pick up a bottle at your local grocery store today.
It's the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses. This is the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses.
Welcome to Game of Roses. This is Pace Case.
This is Bachelor Clues, and there has been a development in the Sauce Wars.
Wee-you.
I mean, you know, we always talk about the Sauce Wars escalating. And that simply is because they are. These wars are escalating on us. And today is digging deeper. Today is Monday. We're going to go through a bunch of different clips from the various Bachelor Nation podcasts. We're going to play the most important clips, the ones that you need to listen to. Dark Secret does a fantastic job of listening to all of this for us, pulling out the important seeds from these podcasts, the things that really are describing the state of the Sauce Wars now, and putting them in these episodes for us. And we're going to, of course, analyze them. Today, we have for you some clips from a brand new podcast. Not brand new. It's 9 episodes in. But this is the first time we've ever played clips from it. This podcast is called, Yeah, But Who Cares? The hosts are Susanna Allen and one Bree Springs. That is the third place finisher on Matt James' historic season 25 of The Bachelor. They have a podcast together. And the clips we're going to play from you have a certain specific guest, Rachel Kirkconnell, the ring winner from Matt James' historic Bachelor season 25. They reveal so much. I don't even know how to begin to describe what is revealed in these clips.
It is astonishing.
Let's just say they're definitely on the T side of the sauce wars.
Yeah.
Shots are fired and shots are fired again and shots are fired again and again and again and again and again in these clips. We are going to get things that I never thought would ever be revealed about how producers treated Kirkcona when she wanted to issue a statement after the Antebellum scandal, about how Bree Springs was. I mean, it's unreal the amount of tea that they have in these clips. So we hope you will stick around to listen to those. That's kind of the main meat of this meal we are about to serve.
It is a gorgeous, gorgeous offering. I was astounded and it will astound and delight.
And we also got some...
And horrify.
Yeah, it will astound, delight, and horrify, just as our beloved game does on a weekly basis. But we also have a bunch of clips from Clickbait, from Will You Accept This Rose, from Happy Hour. The Happy Hour clips are pretty interesting, too. Casey Woods shows us what a true fence player is, dipping into the sauce and dipping into the tea almost simultaneously in some of these clips. We, of course, have some clips from the Vial Files as well. So we hope that you will enjoy this episode of
Digging Deeper.
Okay, so you know how this works. If you've heard this before, we're going to play all these clips from all these various podcasts. We're going to break them down for you. We start today's Digging Deeper with a clip from Will You Accept This Rose with guests Ashley, Serena, and Grocery. This is from October 25th. In this first clip, Ashley Iaconetti uses a gore term, but incorrectly attributes its creation to the players. Here we go.
I love Jill. She's from Rhode Island.
Yeah, she
so
is.
I've known her for like almost a year now. She was like, I'm on the new season. And I'm like, what? We're like in the middle of a crowded room. And so we struggled with friendship. And I knew she had such a good reality TV personality.
Yes.
But like they had nothing to work with her.
With Clayton. Clay tour.
And so when
half
they,
man, half sin tour.
Yeah. So I had a feeling they would call her back for Paradise. And when she got the call that Tooze could be on First Sand, which is the slang term now.
First Sand.
Okay, so if you're the first group on Paradise now, they call it being First Sand.
Is
so
that like a contestant made up term?
It's a contestant made up term.
First
so like all call each other like, I'm First Sand, I'm First Sand.
I'm always First Sand.
Crushing.
Not only is it crushing, I have some personal history with Will You Accept This Rose, this podcast. It is hosted by Arden Mirren, who was originally Kate Walsh's best friend in Bad Judge, in the pilot, the show that you and I met on. She was summarily dismissed by the network when they decided she should not have a best friend. And so we had to edit her out of the entire episode, remove that character. And then 2 weeks into the writer's room opening, the network was like, you know what Kate Walsh should have in this show? A best friend. Can you guys create one of those? And I was just like, Jesus Christ, that's network TV for you. But I also appeared on Will You Accept This Rose some time ago before we ever started Game of Roses.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I was doing Bachelor Clues memes. And I forget how this came about. We have mutual friends, Arden and I. And somehow it came up in some conversation that I was into The Bachelor and she had me on her show. Can't thank her enough for that. It was a very fun experience. Certainly a very different experience from where we are now.
You're a different person than when you went on that podcast.
The pit didn't exist then, but all of that aside, I agree with you. This is crushing to hear. Ashley Iaconetti has now misattributed the creation of the term First Sand to players a couple of times. I think it's just becoming the truth to her. Ashley, we beg you, we humbly beg you to properly attribute the creation of this term to us, Game of Roses. We did create First Sand.
Look, the other reason that it's crushing to me is that, yes, it is important if you're in, you know, the first wave of players, let's say, but First Sand is specifically meant for the first players who are touching sand because those are the ones who get storylines. There's plenty of people who will be there day one who they're not going to focus on.
Yes, First Sand only goes to those first two players, the first male and female to arrive in Paradise. That is it. Those are the only First Sands. There are two players every season. everyone else who comes in that before the first rose ceremony is first wave. Everybody who comes before the second rose ceremony, second wave, so on and so forth.
Next week, we're going to be back here and they're going to be using first wave. And,
yeah.
And you're just like, oh, I think the players came up with it.
Yeah. It's going to be grocery store Joe came up with first wave. Wells Adams came up with first wave.
You know, we got the lore in there. That's something.
Well, no, I mean, look, that ultimately was one of our goals in the beginning of this, coming up with the various terms that we use to describe the different elements of the game. One of our initial goals was that players would start using it and that it would be absorbed into the game. I feel like we're there now. Ashley Iaconetti is openly using it. Dark Lord Palmer's openly texting or tweeting about hoojus and shit like that. Tyler Cameron has used it in an E! Interview. It hasn't, none of our terms have appeared in the document yet, but I think we're mm-hmm. very close to that. That's within a year at this point. 3 to 5 years, as you like to say.
I look forward to that.
But now let's move on to this next clip. This next clip comes to us from Clickbait. The guest is Brandon Jones. This was October 27th. In this clip, again, Brandon Jones uses our terminology, but uses it incorrectly. Here we go.
Pretty much, I get up there and, you know, you pull up in the SUV and you're about to go talk to Jesse. And I pulled up and I guess she was like one of the first people on the beach. And I was so excited to meet, like, you know, a couple of the girls who, you know, I heard who were going to be there, but I didn't know for sure if they're going to be there when I was, you know, first sand.
Brandon, got some bad news for you. You were not first sand. You were 18th sand this season on BIP.
But he is partnered with Serene, who was first sand. So yes. In a way, he is first sand. He is getting that kind of treatment for their relationship.
Well, he's getting a protected edit to be sure, but he ain't first sand. He is 18th sand. He's first wave. I'll give him that. And that's an impressive thing too, because that does mean that you're at least in the first episode. That's a huge thing in terms of screen time, building your narrative. First wave is definitely a good thing. It ain't first sand though. First sand means they've scripted something for you that they want to last the entire season. Olio was the male first sand this year.
Mm-hmm. But he is attaching himself to first female sand, Serene.
Yeah.
So it is like, if you have all eggs and she has all eggs, you're locked in.
Yeah. This is a Dylan Barber, Hannah Godwin scenario.
Yes. Also, I'm always so confused when people say Jesse. I'm like, who is that?
Wow. I mean, that runs deep.
That's a me problem.
Yeah. I want to hear Ashley Iaconetti be like, oh, yeah, we call Jesse Palmer Dark Lord Palmer. That's the players made that up. I want to hear that.
God, we might.
No. If anybody ever called Jesse Palmer Dark Lord, that's it. That basically, I will feel at that point we have controlled the game to a degree that I can rest easy.
I feel like that could get in there and it's just like a little tongue-in-cheek kind of thing with no attribution. I can see that.
Well, I will say this. The show is now allowing us, the fourth audience, to bring in signs that we make into the After the Final Roses and the tell-alls. They are now allowing that. There is room on these signs to hide subliminal messages, to get in certain gore nomenclature, DLP. I could see you, having like the letter D, the letter L, and the letter P highlighted in three different words.
Oh,
you know what I mean? So that it stands up. Hidden messages are possible in these signs. That's all I'll say. That's right.
Okay.
But now let's move on. We're going to move past the incorrect use of our terminology, and we're going to start getting into some real Sauce Wars shit. So, these next clips, we have five of them that come to us from Bachelor Happy Hour with guest Casey Woods from October 19th. In this first clip, Michelle Young asks Casey Woods his thoughts on people talking before the show and the possibility of going in clean without prior connections. And he reveals that he has the capability to sling some of that sauce. Here we go.
What is your opinion about people having full conversations before they get to the beach, or having conversations. If someone, you know, a couple were to have a conversation about, like, you're my person, we are meeting up, right? Because bachelor world is a small family. Once you're in it, it's weird. Everybody kisses each other.
There's no way around, like, each other. Not talking to somebody at some point. Like, everyone's DMing, right? Like, when the seasons are going on. Like, right? There's no way around that part.
Exactly. But, like, to what extent? And, like, to what extent of, like, it's unrealistic to say, okay, I'm never going to talk to you. I'm never going to acknowledge you. Like, no, that's humane. Like, you're going to do those things. But yeah,
I have some friendly conversations too. I think when the line blurs is when you start to make some really,
like, a game plan.
Game plan?
Well, any game plan, I think, is kind of screwed up. I just think that you're not buying into the actual process.
Okay.
Hard praising of the process there, Case.
Literally using the word process. You know, that's some real deep shit. That's like using religious text. I'm praising the process. Amen. So he calls it the process. You're not giving into the process if you've come in with some kind of any conversation. Basically, he's saying, like, of course you gotta have, you're in each other's DMs, but it's when you come up with, and then they put the word game plan in his mouth. He doesn't actually acknowledge that, but I think game plan, strategy, rule book, these are all things the producers, these are terms that producers use very openly in the document and on these podcasts to essentially illustrate a pre-made plan is a bad thing.
This is certainly slinging the sauce. It's praising the process. It's saying you can't do anything other than some DMs, I guess. But it is hilarious to hear these conversations of people walking this line, because they have demonized Piper and Brandon so hard that it's like, well, are we walking that back a little bit? As long as it's a couple that we like Serena and Brandon.
Of course.
Like, it is a thing of beauty to behold to me.
Well, it's that they just don't. I mean, when I hear shit like this, I'm constantly thrown back to early mezzanine era, early modern era, this is post season 13, where we started to see at some of the tell-alls, they would put up footage of these mixers that the show would put together to have all players from different prior seasons kind of meet up, and they would shoot footage of it. Now, this wasn't for anything other than a little clip they would play at the tell-alls to be like, look, we had this, you know, meet up in Vegas or this mixer in New York or whatever. And those were the precursors to what would become Bachelor Pad, to what would become Bachelor in Paradise, obviously. But this was all prior to social media. So really, literally, these players didn't know each other in most cases until they went to these mixers, which were controlled by producers. Mm-hmm. Now we're in an era where there is social media. All of these players have access to each other fucking literally immediately. They're all in group text chains and shit with each other, you know? So it's impossible to not have some prior contact. It's as they're saying, you know, once you're in the show, everybody's DMing everybody. That is literally just how it is.
That's humane, as they say.
Yeah, it's humane. Can you imagine?
I was like, what? It's like, well, we have to go to Stagecoach. That's just humane.
I want a fucking t-shirt that says Stagecoach. That's just humane. Anyway, you get this idea here in this clip that Casey is on the sauce side. He's praising the process and he's saying, don't come in with a game plan. Now, as we get into some of these other clips, you're going to see he also can sling the fucking tea. I don't really know what he is. I don't know if he's a fence player or if I don't know. I mean, he still is beholden to the show. His season is still airing. He's not in it anymore, obviously, because of his IFI. But Bachelor in Paradise Season 8 is still airing. He's going on these shows now. So he is, in some ways, still under their control. And I can see that maybe being a part of why he's slinging sauce here. But again, we're going to get to some of these other clips that are very much in contrast to what he just did. But first, let's play this clip where Michelle Young weighs in on game plans and gameplay and then renders her opinion on some players she thinks might actually have game plans. Here we go.
My biggest issue is when people have these conversations to make game plans, then come down to the beach and then portray to the world as if they don't know a single thing about each other. That's where I get issue with it. Because it's just like, okay, who are you fooling now? Like, just be honest, right? Like, it's okay to have interest. Honestly, it's okay to have conversations, like you said, to a certain extent. But it's hard when people, you know, when you're acting and you're putting on a face, that and being dishonest about it and trying to, you know, almost like pull one over on the audience.
Okay, wait.
Whoever.
So then, Michelle, let me ask you this. No. Who from this season? No. If we're going to talk about this, who from this season is kind of rubbing you in that way?
See, okay. I'm going to preface this by saying I truly love Brandon and Serene together. I think they are my number one couple. They are the couple that I think is going to
they're like the Joe and Serena of last year.
They are, yeah. Like, they are the couple that is, they're the real couple. Like, they are the couple that, honestly, when I'm watching them on the screen,
they're getting engaged.
They love each other. They're going to get engaged, but after this, like, they're going to make it through whatever shitstorm comes. And, like, I feel like if any couple were to do that, that'd be them. Preface this by, because you know the haters are going to be like, Michelle's jealous. No. Like, Brandon and I didn't work out for a reason. Nate and I didn't work out. And I'm happy that way that it didn't work out. Like, just because it didn't work out with Nate doesn't mean that my person was somebody from my season. Okay? But what I will say is it is hard to watch knowing things that I have heard back when I was in a relationship of the depth of this, and to like come down and watch people, what do you do? You know, like, that's kind of like, it's more just like, let's be honest. Like, let's tell the real genuine story, because you are genuine, raw people, and they're great people. Mm-hmm. So then let's be honest across the board.
This clip, very interesting. I would just say this. First of all, let's get into the idea of being honest and being genuine across the board. As Michelle Young is claiming, that is what should happen when you come into Paradise. And she's also making the allegation here that Brandon and Serene knew each other before, were probably engaged in some kind of a relationship online, and that they are not coming in clean. That's what she's alleging here. And she has certain specific information to that end. The idea that you can be honest on this show, let's take that first. This season specifically, they conscripted four players into a scripted scene where they acted against a fake suitcase and were throwing dildos around in service of defaming another player who was not even there. Nothing in this show is honest. So to have this attitude, this is a very Saucian attitude. Obviously, it's got to be upheld on Bachelor Happy Hour. Mm-hmm. That there can ever be any honesty in this show is insane. And it just falls flat immediately. As soon as she starts saying, come on, just come on to the beach and be honest. It's like the producers are the ones telling all the lies. If you're not lying in service of them, and probably the producers are telling them to say that, downplay how much you know each other. They know they've been DMing. They know all that shit.
The phrase, just be honest, is laughable to me when I hear this. I'm like, oh yeah, just go down to the beach and be honest that you had a prior relationship and just get fucking blasted by the producers and the nation. I'm just like,
yes,
Piper and Brendan. It's all I think about when they are having these conversations. I'm like, you cannot be honest. Are you joking? Like, people, like, they lost sponsorships. Brendan lost hundreds of thousands of followers. Like, just because it's a couple that you like more, Brendan and Serene, they're just changing the goalposts a little bit, and
of course
they're having fake conversations about, like, what do you do, what's your job. I'm like,
or even look at, like, I would say I kind of understand the Brendan and Piper thing, because they also were talking about Instagram. It's like, yes, they knew each other before, that was one part of it, but they also got them on camera talking about Instagram numbers, and that is a very 4TWR thing. The other couple though that season that got run off the beach was Chris Conner and Alana Milne. They were not talking about Instagram. They said, yeah, we did meet at this thing. That's also where I met Jacinia Cruz. She was there. And she was kind of the third part of that love triangle that got edged out. And she became the victim, et cetera, et cetera. They were honest. And look what happened. The producers fucking got Grocery Store Joe and his gang to launch them off the fucking beach before they had been there for 24 hours.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is what you get if you are honest, Michelle Young. So that is clearly sauce being slung. Very interesting clip. But now we're going to move on to this next clip. And this one is real interesting. This is Casey Woods spilling some tea about the night he left, about the IFI and events that led up to it that we did not see in the document. He is revealing the edit, contradicting the edit on Bachelor Happy Hour. In my mind, there is nothing more T-esque than what he is doing right now in terms of his position in the sauce wars. We just heard him do all this fucking sauce about praising the process. Now he's going to do this? It's unbelievable. Let's hear this clip. If you would like to hear this clip and all the clips that we have in the rest of this Digging Deeper, you're just going to go to patreon.com/gameofroses and join us in the bottom of the pit. You'll get access to this episode. You'll get access to every other Digging Deeper we have done, which at this point, I don't even know how many there are. I believe there are over 50 episodes now on the Patreon, and probably half of those are Digging Deepers. We have some stuff that goes way back in history to do all-star seasons for Nick Viall, Caitlin Bristow. We talk about producers. We talk about the babies of Bachelor Nation. All kinds of stuff is in there. You're also going to get access to our Discord, where there's a growing community of people talking about all things Bachelor, of course. And you're going to get access to our live shows that we do half an hour before the airing of the game on either Mondays or Tuesdays, depending on how the season is airing. And we answer questions. We have fun in those. Pace Case is always wearing a tot in all of them. So that's something to look forward to. But we hope to see you very soon at the bottom of the pit.
It's the pit. You can get it in. Dig around in all this content. It's the pit. Come on, admit. You want to eat up all these tasty tidbits. It's the pit. There's room enough to fit. Everyone who wants to come in, it's the pit. You can get it in and dig around in all this content. It's the pit. Come on, admit you wanna eat up all these tasty tidbits. It's the pit. There's room enough to fit. Everyone who wants to come in, it's the pit.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us.
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.